Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Running away from home at the age of 16 to join the rebel army sounds like something that happens in young adult fiction, in a book by John Marsden or Suzanne Collins. But that is exactly what Rebecca Waugh did in what is now South Sudan. Rebecca has lived an incredible life. She has spent decades in war zones and refugee camps before she was able to move here to Australia. She's a mother of six children, and she was only able to bring three of them with her to Australia. Once here, she had to escape domestic violence and also negotiate to have her three children back in Africa, educated, cared for, and ultimately for two of them to join her here. You're listening to New Home, a podcast that shares with you some of the stories of migrant and refugee women living in regional Victoria. There are thousands of migrants and refugees like Rebecca living across Victoria, in cities, small towns, and regional communities. In this series, New Home, we're inviting you to spend a little time hearing incredible stories from women who are putting down roots here, building friendships, new skills, community, and new lives. My name is Ellie Hanley, and I'm producing this program from Jarra Country, the traditional lands of the Jajawurung. I pay respects to elders past and present. I also acknowledge the traditional owners from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands you may be listening from. Before we begin, I want to warn people that there is discussion of both war and domestic violence in this episode. Please listen at your own discretion. Before we hear from Rebecca, I want to give a little bit of historical context, because before I spoke to her and started reading about the Sudanese conflict, I honestly didn't really know much about it. Sudan and South Sudan are countries in the northeast of the African continent, just to the south of Egypt. Sudan has a border on the Red Sea opposite Saudi Arabia. South Sudan shares borders to its south with countries like Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda. The region has historically been occupied by many different ethnic, tribal, and cultural groups, and it's been absorbed by many different empires since the pharaohs of Egypt, and most recently was controlled by Egypt until 1956. What is now Sudan and South Sudan are very different, both culturally and environmentally. Sudan is a direct neighbour to Egypt and is largely extremely dry, with the Nubian Desert to the northeast and the Bayuda Desert in its east. In the south, there are grasslands and some tropical savanna. South Sudan, on the other hand, is covered by tropical forest, swamps and grassland. Culturally, Sudan has been largely Muslim, with Arabic as one of their official languages. South Sudan, on the other hand, has had populations who practice Christianity and traditional faiths, with few Muslims, and they speak many different languages. So Sudan separated from Egypt in 1956, and then in 1989, a military dictatorship took control, and at that point in time, Sudan included what is now South Sudan. And this regime was accused of human rights abuses, including torture, persecution of minorities, and ethnic genocide, including the war in the Darfur region that began in 2003. Overall, the regime's action killed an estimated 300,000 to 400,000 people. South Sudan gained independence from Sudan in 2011 after a prolonged conflict. But then it descended into civil war itself between different ethnic groups, which lasted until just 2 years ago in 2020. Rebecca is just one of many displaced Sudanese people now living in Australia. She lives in Bendigo, she's a grandmother, and she speaks six languages. English is just the most recent one. What was life like for you growing up in South Sudan?
In our country, the life before is good when the war not start.
So before the war, life was good.
Yeah, life is good. Yeah, and when the war is start and life change, yeah. We run to town. I born in the war. And my father have five wives. We 37 children. And I'm last born in the house.
You're the last one?
I'm the last one, yeah.
You're the youngest of 37 children.
Yes.
Wow.
Before when I'm 5 years old to six, I know is the life is good. You can't hear any gun or anything, just only the life is good.
Were your parents from a small town or was it rural? Did they farm?
Yeah, my parents live in a small town. All the Sudanese, we farmers. We grow our food and everything.
And what were you growing? What sort of food, do you know?
We grow sorghum and corn and some stuff like vegetable and everything, and we grow them there.
What sort of animals would you have?
We have cow and goat, lamb, many things.
And so during the war, you were saying everybody had to leave their home.
Yes.
And they were moving, trying to avoid conflict, running away from fighting. Is that what was happening?
Yes, yeah. We didn't leave Sudan. The people, they still there, and we didn't leave all our place, and just only people run to town before when we fighting before north and south. And I went to Ethiopia. I joined the army.
The Ethiopian army?
All the South Sudan, we joined the army from Ethiopia. I left my country to go to Ethiopia to join.
Ah, because that's where they were training.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
Like 16.
Okay.
16, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what made you want to do that?
To defend my country. Yeah, that's why I went there.
And at that stage in your life when you were 16 and you wanted to defend your country, had you seen members of your family fighting and joining the army and people around you?
No one joined the army from my family. Just only me, I joined the army. My first child to my mom, he police officer in Khartoum, in North.
So your older brother?
Yeah, my older brother.
And he was in the north of Sudan?
Yeah, northern Sudan, yeah.
So you were on opposite sides of the conflict?
Yeah, I'm opposite side. Before is Sudan, and some years ago, like, we independent, and now we have South and North.
And so at that stage when you were 16, your older brother was a police officer in the north, and you were in the army for the south?
Yeah.
Was much of your family split between north and south?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between north and south, we're fighting. We need our country to be separate. We have a lot of oil in our country, and north need to take it away from us. Dr. John Garang decided to go to Ethiopia to make the army to defend the country. Yeah.
Okay, and so you joined the army. What was it like? How long were you working in the army?
Till 2000 and till 91 when we left Ethiopia.
How old were you?
I have three children that time, yeah.
So from the age of 16 to?
21 or 20.
Okay, so while you were in the army, you had three children?
Yeah.
And did you do much fighting?
President Dr. John Garang, he decided the woman can't go to the fighting.
To the front line?
Yeah, to the front line. And then just only we're waiting for the people they bring from war. And we clean all the wounds.
So you basically did some nursing?
Like nursing, and we not study nursing.
Yeah, okay. You did your best to keep people alive.
Yeah, we do our best. We keep people alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one we do.
Wow, yeah. Okay. So were you married at that time?
Yes, I married. Yeah. We went to army and we married with my father. And my husband killed during the war. Yeah. And we have two girls. And then when he died in the war, and I find another person.
Okay. So you married had two girls and then he was killed.
Yeah.
And then you had another child with another man. So you were only in your early 20s by the time you left?
Yeah.
And what made you leave at that point?
When I leave, you know, I told my parents I need to go to army. And my parents say, no, no, no. I say, yes, I need to go. And they say, you can't go, no girl to go to be soldier. I say, why? They're not reading like, no girl to go to army. Just only I need to go. And they say, no. And I escaped to go to
so you ran away?
To run away, to go to Ethiopia, yeah.
And so then you trained and you had your children. And then what happened after that?
It's 91, we left Ethiopia. And then we came to Kenya. Okay. We've been in a refugee camp in Kenya.
A refugee camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you say we, do you mean your girls, your children and your partner, or everyone from the South Sudan?
Everyone from South Sudan.
Oh, that whole army, yeah, everyone who is...
All the army and the people in refugees in Ethiopia, all the people, they ran away from Ethiopia to Kenya.
Because Ethiopia started having conflict.
Conflicts, yeah.
So how many people do you think that was?
Oh, many.
Many? Thousands?
Yeah, thousand people, yeah.
Yeah.
Many, many people, yeah.
And so everyone ended up in Kenya?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in Kenya? What was life like there?
You know, when you go to another place, it's not like home. The home is very important thing. You don't have anything to eat, you know you had home. And we thank you to, you know, supporting for UNHCR, UNICEF, and Red Cross. They take care with all the refugees around the world. And that one, we survive till. We're still alive till today.
Because of Red Cross and UNICEF.
And UNICEF and UNHCR.
The UN, yeah. And how long were you there?
I've been in Kenya for 10 years.
And what was life like in the refugee camp in Kenya? Was it just tents? Was it hot?
No,
was it muddy?
It's really hot. You know, the UN give the thing, we build all the housing in there. When the food is less and you need to use your mind, like how you survive with your children or your neighbor's children. You know, when we're in the refugees camp, you can't care by yourself. All your neighbors, when they don't have food and you have something, you need to share to survive. The one we survived till now, until they still live there, and until they do that.
So there are still people in that same refugee camp?
The same refugee camp, yeah.
And so you were there for 10 years. What happened next?
My son-in-law, he sponsor us to come to Australia.
So was he already here?
Yeah.
Ah, so your partner and his son-in-law, is that what
yes,
you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have four children with him.
Were you and all the children able to come out here?
When I came, yeah, I came with three children, one boy and two girls, and three left behind home. Okay. And 2010, I brought two boys back here, and the year with us, just only one child left behind.
And they're still there?
And it's still there.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old is that child now?
The first child is 38 or 39.
Years old?
They're still over there, yeah.
But most of your children, like five of your six children, you've brought here?
Yeah.
Okay. And does the oldest one not want to come, or is it just not able to come?
I done the process before I sponsor her, and migration in rejected. They rejected and they asked me for more money to go to Ibina to pay the money. Yeah, and lawyer need more money from me and I can't get that money. Yeah, they need $8,000 and that time I'm not feeling well. I have operation in my knee and I can't walk.
Yeah.
And that's why they rejected.
And how long did that all take?
We're lucky. We thank God for that. Just only 6 months.
Oh,
yeah. 6 months they call her for interview.
Yeah.
Interview to everything. And just only 6 months.
Yeah.
And we came here 2002.
So you've been here 20 years?
20 years, yeah.
Where did you land in Australia? Where was the first place you started?
Western Australia. Perth. Yeah, I've been there for 3 months and I moved to Victoria.
And the children that you were able to bring initially, how old were they when they came with you?
My daughter, she's 14 when we came here, and my son is 5 years, and my younger daughter, she's 1.5 years.
Oh, wow. And you were able to bring them because they were under age, they were still considered children?
Yeah, they still, it's a really long story.
Ah.
For two boys, I bought them some years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big long story for all these two boys. I bought them 2010, yeah. And
how old were they when you left Kenya without them?
The one of them is 8 years. And one of them is 6.
Okay, so there were 6 and 8 when you left Kenya without them?
Yeah.
And who looked after them for those 8 years before you could bring them?
In our country, we have different dialects. My father is Dinka and I'm Nuer. Yeah, and he kidnapped my children to his country.
Those two boys?
Two boys. He took them away from me. And he decided we come to Australia. I say, okay, we go.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what about the children live behind? Say, don't worry about it. They live with my parents.
So he said those two would live with his parents?
Yeah, in Sudan, yeah. And when we came here some years ago when I'm in Swanhien, and I'm decided to bring my children, and he say no. We separated, yeah, the violence and lot of his stuff and all these things we separate.
So he did domestic violence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some years ago, 2005, I talked to his brother, all the family in back home.
Yeah.
I told them I need my children to come to his study.
To study, to go to school?
Yeah, to go to school. They live in village. And I say, I need my children to go to school. And their parents say, okay, when you need your children, we bring your children. And then I say, I led her mom and my children to come together. Her mom to look up my children.
So their grandmother?
Grandmother, yeah. And I brought them to Uganda.
So you went to Uganda to meet them?
Yeah, I went to Uganda 2007. I went to meet them and I'm really happy. They go to school. The Catholic pastor in Swan Hill, I talked to him. I told him my children, they're in Uganda and I need support to take them to school. And the pastor supported me. He wrote a letter, and I put my children to Catholic school in Uganda, and he supported them. And
I you were still there too?
I came back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you met them in Uganda?
Yeah.
Set them up in a school?
Yes.
And then you come back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 2008, a year later, I asked him, can we bring the children here to be have a better life in here? Say no. I can't bring my children here.
So he was living here too?
And he living here. And I say, okay. I talk to my caseworker. I say, I need help. I need to bring my children here. And we talk to the office. They say, when you need your children to come quickly, you need to sponsor them. And I sponsored them, and 2010 they arrived in Australia. I paid a lawyer, I paid migration, I paid everything to support my children, and I brought them here.
And so they would have been 15, 16?
When they came here, one is 15, one is 17.
Oh, that's great. And were they happy to be here?
Yeah, they're really happy.
Yeah. Did they adjust to Australia? Was it difficult?
It's difficult for them. Like in Uganda, they go to school, boarding school. They live in boarding school.
So their grandmother went back home?
No, he still live in Uganda. When they come home for holidays, they live in with grandmother and they go back to school.
So then once they moved to Australia, did she go back home?
Yeah, she went back to Sudan two years ago. She still live in Uganda. My son, my boy, they support their grandmother when they came here. When they finish school, my son working, and they support our grandmother. And
so she took good care of them. She was a good person.
Yes, yeah. And the person led my children to come to Australia is her and the grandparent and the, all the children. They support me to bring all these kids here.
It was just your partner, their father didn't want them to come.
Don't want them to come here.
Do you know why he didn't want them to come?
Why is he's Dinka and I'm Nuer. You know, it's politics between these people. And then the parent told him, you know, this kid, before you know, their mother is from different place and you different place and you love each other. You have children. We can't separate their children with their mom. And we can't do that. When her mom need their children to go to Australia or anywhere, and we're happy.
They could see that it was best
for
the children to be
for
with
for the
you.
Children, yeah. And I thank you for them to do this one for me. Yeah, it's when they say, oh no, these children, you can't take the children to school or this, and now my children to be, I think in this war in South Sudan, now my children to be died. Yeah, and all the grandparents support my children to become in better life.
Yeah.
Till now they came to Australia.
So they didn't want them to join the war.
To join the war.
Yeah.
Oh.
And is the conflict still going in Sudan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it?
It's difficult.
It's been going for such a long time.
Yes, yeah.
Whole lifetime, your lifetime, it's been going.
Yeah, my lifetime and my children's lifetime and my grandchildren's lifetime is really tough.
Yeah.
You know, the country when they have corruption is not easy to be settled. It's difficult.
Yeah. No one can just live a normal life.
A normal life, yeah.
Everyone's disrupted, yeah. And so what was it like for you to come to Australia? Was it very strange?
It's difficult. It's really difficult. I don't know how to speak English when I came here. Nothing. I went to English classes. I learned a little bit.
You speak quite well now. It's good.
Yeah, sometimes it's funny. But when I speak with my children and my grandchildren, they say, oh, Mom, you need to go back to school.
Do they all speak very good English? Because they've been here since they were quite young.
They live here and my grandchildren, they say, oh, Nani is my one granddaughter. She told, oh, Nani, you speak good. Don't listen to them.
Aww.
Don't listen to them. You're okay.
So she was born here? Your granddaughter?
All my granddaughters, they're born here.
And how old are they now?
The first is 16 and 13 and 7 years old.
And so you landed in Perth and then you came across to Victoria.
I live in Melbourne in Dandenong for 5 years and I moved to Swan Hill 2006. Till 2008, I moved to Bendigo.
Okay, so you've been in Bendigo for...
2018. Yeah, 2000.
Oh, 18.
I don't know how to speak English. And when you learn different language, it's really hard. Yeah. And like I speak 6 languages.
I was going to say, I bet you speak a few languages.
Yeah.
6 languages, including English?
Including English, yeah.
So you had 5 languages.
And including is English, 6.
Yeah. And so your 5 languages, were they all African?
African.
And are they similar to each other or are they very different?
Different.
Yeah.
It's a difficult life to learn different. It's really hard. You know, when I learned to speak Dinka, when I went to army, and I speak Arabic before, and when I came to Kenya, I speak Swahili.
So you've had to learn a lot of languages. Yeah. Every time you move, you had to learn a lot.
And when I came to Australia, and I learned English.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to, for you and your children to learn to live here?
It's really good, like when your children go to school, back home, many children, they don't have school, they not go to school. It's really hard. And when we came to Australia, yeah, it's good for children to go to school. And all my children, they finish high school. And the younger one, the last born, she's in university in Melbourne. She studies psychology.
Were there people you could talk to and become friends with? Were there other people from Sudan that you could connect with in Australia?
Yeah, we have many people in community, also Sudanese. We still have our culture here. We teach the kid dancing and everything. They still do it in here. And sometime when they do married, in Sudanese way. And that is not like Australian way, boyfriend and girlfriend, not married, nothing. And we still follow the culture. We don't need our children to be forget the culture. Yeah.
What do you miss most about home?
Yeah, you know, we miss home a lot. You know, like in our country, like in here in Australia, we have cemetery when people go to heaven and you take them to the cemetery there. Yeah. And in our country, we don't have cemetery there. Mm. We bury the people in front of the house.
So you get buried on your own land?
Own land.
Yeah.
You can't take it away from his land to take it far away. Yeah. You know, like the blessing when you take someone away, far away, and you know it's what they call
like the spirit?
Yeah, the spirit to be far away from the family, need to be close to the family.
And so to live in Australia when all of your family and all your ancestors are back there, is that difficult?
Yeah, it's difficult. We can't do nothing, you know. When we have a war, we in Robert G's camp. When you pass away, it doesn't matter where you buried. Yeah, you buried anywhere. And the people back home in our country, they still buried at home, not outside.
Yeah, that's the difficulty of war, isn't it? When you lose your land because the soldiers come and there's fighting and you can't be where it was. So how did you, when you moved to Victoria, like how did you get set up with a house? And did you have to find work and... Do you know what I mean? Like the practicalities of how you survive, really. Did the government help you?
Yeah, when I moved to, before in Western Australia, when is, you know, when my father do the violence for me and then it's a refuge. They took me to
Women's refuge?
Yeah, the woman refuge. And then I told them my family, they live in Victoria. And then they moved me to Perth to Victoria here. And they support me till I got the government house. Till now, this house I live here is government. They still support me till now.
Have you found work or?
Yeah, before some years ago, I do family daycare. I have my business. And when I have problem in my knee, I have arthritis. I can't leave the children and I leave the job.
And do you feel comfortable in Bendigo? Like, do you feel at home here?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I have friends in North South Sudanese, all the community.
And what do you enjoy doing with your time?
You know, when the community gathering together, yeah, it's really good, like different people. Yeah, and it's really good, like, to know different people, and yeah, it's really good in yeah, yeah.
So you feel very connected to a community.
Community, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Thank you for listening to New Home. Follow this series in your favourite podcast app to get new episodes, or visit sbs.com.au/newhome. If you'd like to get in touch, email newhome@sbs.com.au. If you or someone you know is impacted by domestic or family violence, free counselling and support services are available. Visit 1800respect.org.au or call 1800 737 732. They can arrange an interpreter or translator if you need it. The series was created and produced by me, Alison Hanley, and Ginny Tan, and additional editing by Max Gosford.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.